Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today I'm going to talk about spring and summer projects on the homestead. Even if you're not on a homestead, these are things that we could have even done where we lived back in town on a quarter acre. A lot of these things are things that we could have done while we were still living there. So I'm going to share some ideas for perfect spring and summer projects. Then I'm going to talk about our goals for this spring and summer, and then my 5 tips for staying on track and getting the homestead goals done whenever they probably seem a little bit overwhelming when you're looking at the big picture. My name is Lisa, mom of 6 and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. Today's podcast episode is sponsored by my very own Blogging Success Masterclass. This is where I provide a 1-hour free training on how to create a blog and earn an income from it. So Luke and I, we do this full time. We share our projects, cooking, our daily life, here and there, all through our blogging business, and that is how we are able to stay home with our kids and work on this homestead and work on a lot of these projects. You can find that free masterclass at bit.ly/farmhouseblogging school. I am sitting here today with my tea. I have a little bit of a cold. It's cold outside and I am so done with it. This happens pretty much every May. I think that it should basically be summer because it's been cold since October. And we get warm days, but for the most part, I'm still wearing a hoodie and I just want to be wearing a dress. So this is where we are currently. I'm still in my hoodie, drinking my tea, hoping that it'll be warm soon. So first I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the projects that are really good to tackle in the spring and summer. I know that we personally get this extra boost of energy when the sun starts coming out, everything gets green. Our whole property looks magically more beautiful overnight. So where it looked really drab and ugly because there's lots of places that we haven't completed the grass in and it's muddy, now it just magically transformed. The trees are green. Everything just looks beautiful whether we do anything with it or not. So that is a bonus. It makes you appreciate the beauty and then want to work to beautify it even more. So I'm gonna get in my phone here to get some of my notes that I took. So some examples of good spring and summer homestead project ideas, and a lot of these Luke and I actually did last year, and then a lot of them we put off for this year, are creating the garden. So if you don't have an established garden, either tilling or layering on some cardboard and leaves. Now this all needed to happen already, so it's not really a late spring project, but you could even just prep for next year. So a lot of homesteading, I find, is preparing for the next year. So I think it was around this time last year, maybe a little bit earlier, that we built our raised beds just in time for planting. And now is a really good time to do that. Also, if you have any issues with critters and you need to create some kind of garden boundary, like a picket fence or any kind of fencing, this is a good time to work on that. Mostly just because the temperature is moderate enough that you want to be outside. Also, last year, my light keeps changing, so I keep having to adjust it here if you're watching the video version of this. We also created an entrance for our garden. We created a garden arbor. This was something that I really wanted to do because when I see a lot of the homesteads that I really love on the internet, I find that they have these cozy nooks. It's not just a wide open field. They have this little area that is secluded and there's an entrance to it. And I didn't even know how exactly to achieve this, but I can feel it taking shape with a lot of the things that we're adding. Like this year, for example, which I'm gonna get to this, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're gonna be adding some pathways throughout our property, which will automatically create areas where we can put little beds. It'll divide it up a little bit and it'll create some of these cozy little nooks. So if you follow on some of my favorite gardening type of accounts to follow on YouTube or Instagram are the Elliott Homestead and Parisian Farm Girl. But they create these little areas that in my area where I live, it's not really something that I've seen, and we really didn't inherit a lot of that on this property. I'd hoped that we would have, in the spring, our first spring here, I really expected to see some established peonies and roses and different things popping up, and we didn't inherit anything like that, and we didn't get any landscaping or old pathways or anything like that. So a lot of it we're just creating, and we want it to look like it's been here forever. So the garden arbor helped with that. This year, the pathways will really help with that. And the fencing we're doing is really helping segment things off so that things have their own little divided area. And it's looking more and more like a real working farm. And those boundaries throughout just help you to know, you know, where to put the paths, where to put the beds and the flowers. And we're establishing all of that. And I feel like it's a creative time in the spring and summer to look at that, even if some of it is going to just be used next year. Some more great projects are sprucing up outdoor spaces, landscaping, like pathways. I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse. Also preparing for maybe this year you are getting your first dairy goat or something, and you know that you will be breeding in the fall and she'll be having her kid next spring. Things like building a milk stanchion or building chicken coops if you're wanting to add to either currently add to your flock or even start raising chickens next year, or if you're in a situation like we are right now where we have a whole bunch of extra chicks that we pretty much doubled our size. And so we're going to have to create another either chicken tractor or coop very shortly here because we still have 25 chicks in a little galvanized tub that will soon need another place to go. It's also a good time to, if you have on your list, you want to get bees, you want to get fruit trees, you want to get a cow or goats, to start thinking about adding in that area. Now, right now, as this podcast is coming out, it's on the very tail end of wanting to plant fruit trees, but it's a good time to think about what you might plant in the fall, which is another opportunity to do that. So our goals for this year, like I mentioned before, last year, what we accomplished in the spring and summer, we actually accomplished so much. And I love to look back on it because sometimes I feel like we have so much work to do that I forget about what we've already accomplished. So last spring and summer, we ripped down a cottage that was beyond repair, put in that area, raised beds, a picket fence, so our whole garden area that I love and think it's so beautiful. Built the arbor. We built our first goat milk stanchion. We built a chicken tractor. That was last year, I believe. It might have actually been the year before. It was the year before. Okay, so that didn't happen last spring. That happened the year before that. We fenced in our new goats because we got goats a little over a year ago. Painted the side of the barn. We got so much done just to get this place back into shape from a lot of years of neglect. Now this year, we want to, first thing on my list is halter train June. My heifer, Bessie, if you remember, I introduced her last July. We sent her to live at my sister's farm whenever my other sister was getting married in our barn last November. And we're leaving her there because she will need to be bred probably this summer. And then my sister might end up keeping her and milking her because I decided that I wanted to get further into the process than waiting that long. So I had already halter trained Bessie last summer. And now we have a 4-year-old Jersey who is bred and due in September. So I need her to be gentle enough to milk her in September. And so that has become a very imminent goal because I don't only have so many months to get her familiar with me. So what I've been doing, this started about a week ago. I started daily putting a halter on her and leading her around to different areas on our property and then just tethering her for the day because we don't have any, our fencing complete. So close to complete now, but that's been a whole saga in itself. We had our fence guy that we paid half of all the money up front, just ditch the project completely, block our calls, and so that's another whole thing. We just had to basically completely pick up where he left off. He literally just left rolls of fencing leaned over and posts laid down. It was like he had no clue he was going to quit and just never come back. So that is also on the list to finish all of the fencing. So we did find a new fence guy to help us. He is building the gates and ordering the supplies. So hopefully that'll all work out. And then the next month or two, we will have it all fenced in. And then by then, June will have been introduced daily to halter training. So I bring her out every morning and then I bring her back every evening to the barn. And she definitely is a work in progress. She does have the tendency to want to headbutt me, and so I'm very careful with the way I bring her back, but she is getting a little bit easier to handle each day. All right, the next thing on my list is build a gable patio cover over the patio area of the blue cottage. That's something Luke and I want to build. Last year, we did become familiar with building that shape with building the garden arbor, and which, by the way, I forgot to mention, I do have printable plans for that over on the blog. So if you go to farmhouseonboone.com and search arbor in the search, you will find plans that you can print off for the arbor and build your own, because I saw a picture on the internet and just wanted to recreate it, and then I just wrote that whole process down so that you don't have to guess. So we want to build that. Another thing that we actually already did was rebuild the porch steps. So that video and blog post are coming very soon. We had a concrete block for a step. We jackhammered that out and built wooden steps. And that was quite a little process because I've never built steps before. So I did learn and we did get those built. The next thing on the list is to revamp the front porch. So we're gonna be painting it, adding new trim. Again, all of that's coming to the YouTube channel. Another goal is to find a new setup for the chickens. Like I mentioned before, we doubled our flock size and now I need to figure out where they're all going to go. Now, one thing that we're thinking about doing is instead of building another movable chicken tractor, fencing off the areas that we don't want them, the chickens to go, which we almost have accomplished because the garden's fenced off and because we put an interior livestock fence and an exterior livestock fence, they're confined to the yard, but they still come and get into my front yard, which we're going to be putting lots of landscaping on. They get on the front porch. So we're thinking about just fencing just the front yard of the farmhouse with either some of the antique loop fence. They make a reproduction on Etsy, or a picket fence. So that would be the possible solution. The other possible solution is making another chicken tractor. But because Luke and I have built both, we do find that the fencing is a little bit easier for us to grasp. So we might actually just go that route. Plus, I'm a fan of free-range chickens. I know some people hate them, but I find them so charming. I just love looking out and seeing my little blue cottage and my barn and my garden, and them just being 10 different breeds. We don't really have 10, but probably close to 10 different breeds of chickens pecking around in all kinds of random areas. And I like finding their little piles of eggs in the foundation of the barn, and I don't know, tucked away. That all is very charming to me. And so I like the idea of sectioning off the parts that we don't want them to go, especially because we've almost have that accomplished, instead of cooping them up just because I find it charming. But there are times whenever I don't like that we can't find the eggs and things like that. So there's definitely pros and cons. The next thing on the list, of course, is finish the fencing and gates. Plant the garden, divide the hives. So we did get bees a year ago, and we have a bee mentor who comes over every so often, I don't know, maybe like 6 months, maybe a little bit more. He's came more than twice, so more than 6 months. And he recently came, and I knew that we were probably getting to the point where we needed to put the second box on with all the frames. So essentially, if you're not familiar with bees, you don't want to put a second box on until it's full, because they will fill it in and go up. But if you wait too long, half of the hive will swarm and go find a new place to go. And we had every evidence of that. So somehow we missed a swarm, which if you don't miss it, you can catch it and you can divide it and you can have a whole new hive. But we did not. And so we did lose half of our beehive. He said probably about 4 days before he came. So I was like, ah. So that is something that is on my list of goals for this year, is to get another hive going and also learn more about beekeeping. Okay, so here are my 5 tips for staying on track and not getting overwhelmed with homestead goals, because it can definitely happen. I know whenever you first buy a homestead, or you start thinking about things that you could do on a homestead, you have a sense of optimism before you buy the place, and you're not really thinking about all of the work that it will require, or that this isn't going to be like this next spring. Next spring, we aren't going to have a dairy cow, chickens running everywhere, bees we're collecting honey from, a garden that's just overflowing, and this cute little picket fence. It is such a process, and it's important to be realistic about that, because it does take years. Whenever you see these beautiful homesteads, a lot of them, they've been at it for 5+ years, adding a little bit more each year. So the first thing on the list is to make a list. I did this last year, and I put an entire list, a list that I felt was reasonable to actually achieve. The next is to set goals. You want to know, and if you're a long-term planner, you might even write down a 5-year plan with goals for each year to see if it helps you to see we can be here if we just stick to these manageable steps along the way. The big picture won't look so overwhelming. The third, this one is for me, it is to lower your expectations a bit. So crossing a few things off the list. This actually happens just about every year to me. I have a certain list, and then Luke helps me look at it and decide that some of these things aren't reasonable. We need to take them off and think about them next year. So one thing I've already tried to wrap my brain around is that we aren't going to get to the back patio area this year. I really want to put in a patio where we have a little summer kitchen with a smoker or some kind of fire cooking and furniture and some kind of definition. So maybe like stone walls. I don't know. It is something I really want to do, but it's not going to happen this year. And so I really don't even need to think through the details of it. I can gather inspiration, but cluttering my mind with a lot of the details wouldn't be productive at this point because of all the other things on our list. So I don't think I mentioned it, but we also did have a goal this year, and it's going to happen, of putting in pathways around the front. So we're doing the flagstone pavers, and they're gonna go to the cottage, and one's gonna go to the side porch and the other porch. And then we're going to do lots of landscaping and plants in between those. And so that's happening this year. The patio is going to have to wait, because I find that it's really beneficial to focus on one thing at a time, because that is where you can actually think through the details. So any project that we've done that we've rushed through and I couldn't think through the details ends up suffering. It ends up just not turning out quite how I expected it. But if I'm singular focused, so in any extra time that I have, I'm thinking about that one thing, I'm able to just think through some of the details that you'd otherwise miss and devote a lot of my attention. Now, when I say one thing, I do typically have a couple projects going on at once, but it would be difficult for me to want to keep like five plates spinning, because even if you're hiring someone to help on it, you still need to have your mental energy invested. So for example, with the fence guy right now, he is building the gates, and then we're working on the wood fencing up by the road. And little details like, do you want round posts? Do you want to use decking boards? Do you want to use the boards that are straight across with no rounded corners? These are all things that if you just said, put up the fence and then I'm going to check out and take on a different project, you might not even realize that you're missing a detail that you assumed in your head that you were both in agreement on because you wanted a certain charming look that they didn't even realize there was a miscommunication because they just thought wood fence. And so I find that with every project, that kind of thing happens, and you need to devote your attention to it, even to something as simple and practical as fencing. Really, with any project, if you want it to turn out right, you do have to devote quite a bit of mental space. If you're wanting details and character, it's going to take you, even if you do hire a contractor. All right, the fourth tip is to create a timeline for each project and the order in which you will work on them. So I find that a lot of projects, especially with the homestead, there are certain things that are time sensitive that they have to happen in a certain order, and certain things can be put off. So if you have animals that are outgrowing a certain shelter and they need something else, you're gonna have to worry about that and move it up on the priority list. There are also seasonal considerations. So do you need to get a plant in or a tree in early in the spring versus in the fall? When do you need to go get a certain animal bred to calve or kid whenever you want them to? Creating this timeline is really important. Even if you aren't doing things that have that timely requirement, so like plants and animals and all of that, it still really helps to know the order of things. So for example, when I'm thinking about our front porch redo that we're doing, we needed to do grading work before we could do landscaping. We need to paint the porch before we do the landscaping. We need to have it level before we can do the pathways. And so thinking through all of those details is really important. So I like to create a timeline. And on this step, it's really important to be realistic. So if you have a full-time job and the only time that you can work on something to advance your homestead is on a Saturday, then set goals and expectations and a timeline for things that can realistically happen in 4 or 5 hours a week. Now, if you work on something 4 or 5 hours a week every week, you will get somewhere, but you do need to know realistically what you can achieve each year. And then my fifth and final tip is to gather the supplies for the first project on the list so that when you get the time, you are ready. I do find, especially if you live in a rural area, which we are semi-rural, so we actually don't have to worry about this as much because we can get to a major home improvement store and a hardware store all in less than 10 minutes, even a feed store and seeds. I mean, everything in less than 10 minutes. So it's not as important. But if you're spending all of your time running back and forth, you are going to eat up all of the time that you had to work on a certain project. So if you, for example, let's say you're a stay-at-home mom, and you know that when your husband is home on Saturday, you're going to work on a certain project. You could make it your responsibility throughout the week to maybe, when you think through that first project, think the dimensions through for whatever it is. Say you're building a raised bed or a picket fence, I don't know. Think through the supplies, the dimensions, make a list, gather them, be ready, and then you will be surprised at how much you can knock out whenever you're completely ready to tackle something like that. All right, well, I hope that this was helpful for you. I hope that you are enjoying warm weather where you are and that you're getting that energy back that I typically lose during the winter and fall. And I get a whole new sense of excitement to start a lot of the projects on the outdoors and expand what homestead projects we have. And this is how, over the last couple years as we've lived here, this will be our third summer, we have gotten to where we just had pretty much nothing going on homestead-wise to being able to keep some animals, grow a garden, keep chickens, and we're just adding a little bit here and there each year. Again, be sure to check out my blogging success masterclass if you are interested in starting your own blog at bit.ly/farmhouseblogging school. As always, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast.